into June, which is generally celebrated as Pride Month around the world in connection to the riots at the Stonewall Inn in New York City in June of 1969. We wanted to take a minute to hear from any of you for whom the physical celebrations of the month are part of your yearly rhythms. With COVID, clearly those plans have obviously changed, and we are cognizant that for some of you, this may have been your first Pride. Pride may be the only time that you feel allowed to be that version of yourself. Perhaps you are still closeted to your family or friends. Perhaps it's simply something that you enjoy celebrating, whether wherever you find yourself in the sexuality spectrum. But no matter what, it's one of the things that is different. And the physical gatherings of Pride are a political movement as much as they are an emotional one. And so we just wanted to give some space, and a few of you were kind enough to write in, and we're going to hear from you now. And a huge thank you to Athla Tiger, who read all your answers for us. Thanks so much, Tig.
JBA says, I signed up for a 5K Pride run this year. Kronos Stardust and Bones says, this was the year I was going to go to my first Pride since realizing that I'm bi. Being unable to do so is disappointing, but I'd much rather the community be safe than have the parade. I don't have any definitive plans yet, but I'm hoping to find some way of participating. Isolt-1124 says, doing a local virtual 5K and just generally continuing to be my usual fabulous self. STRMPT says, just trying to live as my authentic self unapologetically this year. Let's All Sleep Over Work says, another server is doing a Pride Week with Wrecking Fix, songs, art, etc., and having a Pride Cake Day and other cool activities. Usually I go to at least one Pride parade with some LGBT+ friendos, and we get together and have our own Pride celebrations where we're out and proud and living our best lives.
And pivoting now to Trope Off, I wanted to give a quick update for those who are curious where things stand before we head into our events forecast. So, since the last time we talked about Trope Off, we've had three head-to-head battles. First up was a real challenge for people. This one was a nail biter. We had Mutual Pining versus Soulmates, which, I mean, I'll say that that's two of my very favorite tropes. So I understand everyone's pain. Once again, I am grateful that as the owner, I cannot vote. Mutual Pining took it 53-47. So that was tight, but not the tightest we've ever had. Next up, we had Trapped Together versus Domestic Fluff. I thought that one might be a little easier for people, but that one was a challenge too. Trapped Together took it with 52-48 Domestic Fluff's 48. And our most recent battle surprised me, actually. We had Soulmates versus Fake Dating. And I thought this one was going to be a real struggle because, again, those are two of my favorites. But Soulmates kind of blew Fake Dating out of the water. It was 65 for Soulmates and 35 for Fake Dating.
I think Soulmates is also having a bit of a moment.
It is having a moment. I'm here all day for those moments. But I think Fake Dating maybe is kind of on the downslide a little.
Yeah, because I just wrote one and people were like, really, it was like a thirst in the desert kind of reaction to it. So
to Fake Dating?
To Fake Dating, yeah.
Oh, so maybe it's just not being fed very much.
I think it's possible it's one of the ones that's on the downswing at the moment, and Soulmates is just pressing, like, absolutely, like, forefront of everyone's mind, and so that's what, like, is getting fed, and therefore you want more of it. Mm. I feel like ABO Fix are the same way.
Yeah, and I mean, I will say that, like, we're in the, I think we've got about 6 or 7 maybe left, maybe even less than that, that are still in the running, so, like, they've made it pretty far. Are you gonna reveal what you voted for?
Is anyone gonna be surprised? So, Mutual Pining and Soulmates. I went with Soulmates because as much as I love writing Mutual Pining, I don't like reading it as much.
Okay, interesting.
Mostly, I just love torturing you all, and yeah, yeah. I love the comments. And while you were sleeping so much, I'm gonna write Mutual Pining forever now.
Yeah.
Trapped Together and Domestic Fluff. I did Domestic Fluff because I don't love Trapped Together as much. It has to be very specific, and it has to involve there's only one bed.
Yep, valid.
So, and then Soulmates and Fake Dating, Soulmates.
Yeah.
No questions. So I was pretty down the middle, easy. Also, soulmates, there was a great question on the collab Cupid. I think you brought it up of like, what's the trope? Yeah, you did. What's the trope you haven't written?
Yes.
For me, that answer is soulmates. I haven't really dove into it as a writer.
Ah, interesting. So okay. Well,
a lot about soulmates right now.
Yeah, I'm going to hold you to that. Mine was amnesia, which is, I'm pretty sure, already out of the running.
Yeah, that one's not as pop right now. Yeah.
Yeah, amnesia had a 2 wins, 2 losses. And it was out.
Okay, so what else is out?
So Domestic Fluff is now out. Its loss to Trapped Together was its second loss. So bye-bye Domestic Fluff. I do think maybe it suffered from being a bit too broad. And people tended to pick the specific fluff they liked rather than the broad concept of Domestic Fluff. So that was interesting.
Totally fair.
In a similar and yet completely opposite way, Gut-Wrenching Angst is also out. So that may be for the same reason. It's a bit too broad. But I will also say that the kind of angst that tends not to end happily or is a little easier to end unhappily, perhaps, did not do great in Tropoff. So I think that, and again, we had some conflict with Gut-Wrenching Angst because some people saw it as like, you can have Gut-Wrenching Angst and then a happy ending still. And some people saw it as like, the whole thing was Gut-Wrenching Angst. So like, if they voted for it, they were choosing angst with an unhappy ending.
Right. So is it like, it's angst, it's like Hurt Comfort versus Dead Dove almost.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't have to be a dead dove to have a sad ending, but I think that when I chose Gut-Wrenching Angst as one of the tropes in the list, I was imagining that the implication was that the whole story was angsty and there was no happy ending, there was no comfort, or if there was, it wasn't enough to like balance out the angst. But some people very clearly were like, oh, I love angst with a happy ending, so I will vote for Gut-Wrenching Angst. And I was like, interesting. Yeah. The other two that did lose in the last couple were Fake Dating and Soulmates. They are both still in the running. That was their first loss. So we still have some of the big hitters. And we're getting down to it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We've got 6 tropes left in the running. I think about 5 votes. It depends a little bit on if we end up with someone that requires a double loss doing double elimination. So we'll see. But as usual, I don't like to reveal too much about the standings because I don't want people to start gaming their voting. But I am really interested to see what comes out on top. This ended up being much more fascinating and different in ways I didn't expect to see. And the ones that I would have voted to the top, some of the ones that would be in my top 3 for sure, are already out.
We're going to have a longer conversation about tropes and why we think we gravitate towards different tropes at different times, because this is so interesting. So we're going to have to do that later for sure.
Yeah. If anyone listening wants to be an interview specifically about tropes, that'd be a great topic to bring to us.
Yep.
We are moving into the last few weeks of Trope Off. So get your voting fingers ready. Remember that you don't have to be following me on Twitter to vote, but I do post them on Twitter. So you'll have to check me out. Once in a while, each one is available for 2 days. I will be posting the finals for a little bit longer. So I'm hoping to get a little more engagement when we get down to the very, very end. But I am very excited. And whatever the outcome is, you will definitely hear about it here on the podcast. Next up, we have your events forecast.
Hi, fandom. This is Only More Love, your interim forecaster. I'm back to tell you all about what's going on, challenge-wise, in a Marvel fandom near you. A little note before I start with the current events. You'll be able to find everything I mention in this forecast, linked and explained, in the show notes of each episode over on podonthesuit.com. Alright, so now for the numerous and fun events that are happening. In light of the current American and worldwide situation, we first need to pull your attention towards projects inspired by the other charity auctions we've had in fandom, this time geared to raise money to go towards the Black Lives Matter movement, and charities aligning with that movement's values, such as bail funds and other organizations. Among the various initiatives, Marvel-oriented ones include Marvel Fans for BLM, both on Tumblr and on Twitter, which will be open to all Marvel worlds, but centered on uplifting Black characters as well as one called Crafts for Change, which you can check out on Twitter. Other initiatives are taking place around the different social media platforms, so keep an eye out if you'd like to support the cause in this way. Teen Wolf fans may want to check out Fandom Cares as well. Cap IM released the dates and themes of this summer's Tiny Reverse Bang. The TRB works so artists submit art pieces corresponding to the themes of the round, and then one piece is revealed every week with other creators writing, podficking, or vidding works inspired by them. The submission period for this round will last from June 19th to July 10th, and the round itself will go on until September for Big Bang season. The Fanworks Like It's 2012 Prompt Fest is still ongoing, so if you haven't looked at the prompts yet, go browse. Prompting stays open until the end of the fest on July 13th, and no claiming is required. Whether you've picked a side, fluff or angst, or you're a double agent, the Steve Tony Games will be revealing their prompts in 2 days. It will take the form of a bingo card with both themes represented equally for the teams to battle for the most points. All universes are welcome and even encouraged, so please check out the rules for more detailed info on how to win points. It'll be fun! The signups for the Bottom Steve Festival Big Bang are open until June 19th, with artists claiming happening between August 3rd and 7th, and posting starting August 31st. There is a 10,000-word minimum requirement for authors. The event is 18+. The first prompts of the Marvel Blind Date were revealed last week, so if you haven't had a chance to look yet, go for it. If you have looked but haven't claimed, new prompts will be revealed each month. The artist signups for the Marvel Reverse Big Bang have closed. Submissions are expected by June 12th, and writers will come in July 3rd for claims. Claiming for the Marvel Undercover Prompt Fest is open and will stay so until June 28th. Posting will start on June 29th. As a reminder, this year's theme is music. So take a look at the prompts, listen to some of the songs, and maybe they'll spark something. The signups for the Winter Iron Shield or Stacconi Reverse Bang for both authors and artists are open until June 10th, with art previews happening on June 11th. Art should be 80% done to be submitted, and stories should be complete with a minimum of 5,000 words by the time of posting, which will happen between August 7th and 28th. It's the last day to sign up as an author for the Iron Husbands Big Bang. Artists have until June 22nd to join, with claims happening on July 3rd, and a posting period starting July 31st. Writers have the option of choosing between a mini-bang, 5,000 words, and a big bang, 15,000 words. What'll it be for you? Sam and Steve are almost ready to pack their bags for some relaxing times with the Sam-Steve Vacation Week, happening June 28th through July 4th. The mods are posting some prompts on the DW.com for inspiration, and they are gorgeous. At the same time, Iron Strange Week will be held from June 28th to July 11th, including 1 week of amnesty to give people more time to get their work in. There are no minimum requirements either, and every form of media is allowed. Winter Iron is Commenting has released their 5 commenting bingo cards to encourage the community to engage with Tony/Bucky content. Examples of prompts include Rec for a new shipper, Work from W.I. Spring Fling, 616 Verse, and many others. Signups for Starker Festival's Starker Summer Bingo are still open, and this round will last till September 1st. And if you are a poly shipper and didn't get a chance to sign up last time, the Marvel Poly Ship Bingo is running additional signups this month, so go grab your card. This round lasts until September 30th. The Tony Stark Bingo, Cap IM Bingo, and Comment Bingo, Cap IM Kink Meme, and Lights on Park Avenue are still open for participant signups and or contributions. And the links to all of these are still in the show notes of episode 1. The CAP IMBB mods are also holding Discord chats for authors, so please keep an eye out for the announcements of the time they'll take place, as they will vary to catch as many time zones as possible until September. This has been your events forecast. I'll see you next episode. Until then, happy shipping!
And that's a wrap on episode 8.
Thank you to Pendragon, Simi, Rose, and Avengers & Co. for their conversations, and to Bear for the art. Also, thank you to Athletiger for reading our Pride celebrations.
And before we go, we have a very exciting announcement.
Dun, da, da.
It's almost time for Steve's birthday!
Yay!
I know, you're listening to this at the beginning of June, but his birthday is the beginning of July, so we want to give you guys some time to create stuff. This is going to be just like for Tony's birthday. We're going to have an AO3 collection. We're going to have, the hashtag is HBDSteve2020. Notice how creative we are. Aren't you proud of us? And the reblogging week on Twitter and Tumblr will start on June 28th, so that it culminates with Steve's birthday on July the 4th. And then we'll see you again on July the 5th for an episode celebrating Steve. But again, your reblog week is going to be the 28th to the 4th.
And do note that we did have some trouble with Tumblr dropping some people out of the tag. I still don't know why. That's just Tumblr's way. So if you really want to be sure that we catch it and we feel, you know, if we missed anything, we'd be heartbroken. So if you want to, instead of just tagging with HBD Steve 2020, you can also at us, at Pod on the Suit, in your text, so that we definitely see it and we can be sure to reblog, because we really, really don't want to miss anything.
No, and we giggled gleefully over everything that you guys submitted the last time. We loved the fix and the creations and the art and everything else, and we can't wait to make this an annual tradition. So as we wrap up 8, thank you again for your comments, your questions, and your engagement, especially on this particular topic. And we look forward to continuing these conversations. This is your fandom podcast, and we want to make it the best it can be for you. If you'd like to share your views on fandom, never forget that you can comment on the website. You can get in touch across any of our socials. You can send in secrets and questions anywhere you can. And we'll see you soon for episode 9. You've been listening to Pod on the Suit. Thanks for joining us.